Randy Tobler, Truth Warrior, Woke Destroyer, on News Talk STL. Watch us on our live stream using Rumble, Facebook, and Twitter. This is News Talk STL.
Chamber designed to be occupied with civil, principled statesmen and women have been overtaken by a small group of swamp creatures who all too often remind me more of my children than my colleagues.
They have called us everything from narcissists to charlatans, when all we want to do is pass the big red policy ideas that were promised to voters of this state every 2 years.
Well, welcome back to the program. And of course, that frames some of the dissension going on in the GOP conference in the Missouri Senate. Joining me now, that Senate's and that body's majority leader, Senator Cindy O'Loughlin. Thanks for joining me, Cindy. Appreciate it.
Good morning, Randy.
Hey, I have to ask you, one of the listeners on our Facebook feed is asking, will the duel occur? But will that be sabers, guns, knives? What will be used if it comes to a duel, as Nick Schroer has jokingly proposed?
Nick is a very emotional young man. But, you know, I guess that's one solution.
Hey, so Nick made some news here earlier. He was my guest last hour for a segment. As you know, I'm a truth seeker. You and I worked together during the COVID thing and before you came into leadership and after. I've watched what you've done and admired the way you listen and the way you try to get people together and maneuver. And it's been alleged that you were okay with expelling Bill Igel from the Senate. What is the truth there? Let's do some truth seeking.
Well, I was speaking to a group of press from around the state of Missouri, and we were talking about the state of affairs in the Senate. And I explained to them our current state of affairs, which is basically that we have two groups of people, both of them outraged at each other, and it just seems to keep escalating. And I talked about Senator Igel telling everyone that I was a terrible leader and, you know, need to be thrown out of my position, and said, you know, Senator Igel needs to realize that with 23 votes, he could be thrown out of the Senate, sort of jokingly, but, you know, it was a poor choice of words. It's hard to be in this position and not either get dragged down one direction or the other, but that's not really my job to do that.
Let's talk about some of the real issues at hand. In our conversation with Nick Schroer, he mentioned that he has been trying to negotiate with leadership. I assume that is you and Senator Rowden, and that on several occasions, two or three occasions over the last week, there's been an agreement imminent, and that, quote, the goalposts have been moved. And at one point, the FRA was moved in front of education, quote, to screw with you guys. And he claims he has text evidence of that. True or false? And how come the negotiations have not led to some breaking up of the logjam?
Well, first of all, I'm not the one who brings the bills in and puts them on the calendar. It's commonly acknowledged that the FRA is not ready to come to the floor. What the underlying thought might have been bringing it in, I don't know. No one consulted me about that. As for having an agreement that's imminent and then the goalposts get moved, I think that happens, you know, on both sides of this, which is what makes it difficult. You know, a couple of people will come forward and say, hey, I think we could do this or that. Here's kind of the terms of how that would look. And then, you know, the other side will say, okay, but we need to make a few changes. And, you know, it goes back and forth. And I think that at times we're missing a real commitment, really from both sides, as to let's get it done. We just need to get it done.
So I'm hearing there that Because Nick referred to basically trust being broken. Word is not the bond. But I'm hearing that that's happened on the other side, too, that there's been what you and others on the, quote, other side of the fence have believed was maybe an agreement in principle or sort of a handshake agreement, whatever, that then the goalposts have been moved on the other side. Right? I mean, is that a fair summary?
I appreciate Nick's efforts. I think that he truly does want to see the body move forward, as does each individual senator if you ask them that question. When it comes to trust being broken, really, historically, and I would say this is before I became the floor leader, there were times when an individual member would be told, this will come up on the floor. After this happens, this will come up. And of course, everyone in the Senate is waiting for their priority to come to the floor. And you can't tell everyone that their priority is coming to the floor because, you know, eventually that's not going to happen. There's just too many pieces of legislation. But when I became the floor leader last year, and in response to those feelings, and even I've had those feelings, I made sure that everyone was treated fairly, particularly, the people in the conservative caucus. And I gave them those statistics and showed them and have repeatedly told them, I will help you get done what you need to get done. If you have any kind of an issue, come to me immediately and I will straighten it out. And I think that most of them would tell you that if I tell you I'm going to do something, I do it. So maybe in the past there have been complaints about how things work, but last year I thought things went pretty well. So we have to come to a point where we stop talking about what happened 5 years ago, look at the record that we have now, and move forward. But this is an election year, and on social media and other places, I think outrage sells. So you have a lot of outrage.
Well, there's no doubt that in order to be heard these days in the news cycle, and it seems like the loudest voice with the most dramatic presentation may get the biggest number of ears. There's no doubt about that. That seems to be just the reality of the news cycle and the media, the independent media, the social media. Let me ask you about this. Nick referred to something about the rules. There's a way to bypass the traditional refer the bill to committee. It gets sliced and diced and modified, and there's an agreement. It goes out of committee, and then it gets onto the floor for a vote. He says there either was or is a mechanism to have the rules go in a different direction, which was that IP move of a week and a half ago, to bypass that traditional process, to take it to the committee as a whole, which I guess is that to just say, hey, we're going to bypass all that. I, Caleb, I, Cindy, I don't know who makes that ultimate decision. I want IP reform to happen. It needs to happen because we've got this abortion petition making its way through, and we have to raise the threshold before they get enough signatures under the current rules. Why wasn't that done?
Well, first of all, if you're going to bring something to the floor under the guise of a committee as a whole, then the whole committee has to agree to it. We have, I believe, 12 different initiative petition reform pieces of legislation. So to say, I'm going to bypass all of that, I'm going to tell you which piece of legislation is most important, you know, guarantees that the rest of the people are not going to go along with that. The reason we have committee hearings is for the public to come in and give their testimony, for each senator to tell you why their solution is the best solution. And then you bring it to the floor of the Senate. So yes, there is a rule. I think the last time it was used was in the early 1900s. And that was just a bad move.
Well, that's very important for people to hear. And I guess I'm going to speculate here. Is it fair to say that the reason the logjam occurred and the blowup occurred with the 11 hours of filibustering and the refusal to pass gubernatorial appointments, which Nick Schroer confirmed there is no real substantive opposition to. It was being used as a cudgel, as a wedge, as a leverage point. Is it fair to say that's because either Senator Igel or one of the consensus IP reform pieces was not the one you were willing to put on the floor in front of the body as a whole? And if so, I think I would agree with you. Why should you be the judge, jury, and executioner on a bunch of other bills? Is that fair?
Well, I mean, it is fair. And, you know, people need to stop and think about this for a minute. If every senator said, you know, I've got the solution here, and I'm going to bypass the regular process so that I can bring this directly to the floor, I mean, we would have mayhem. So there's a process in place for a reason, and sometimes people get frustrated with it, but we can't have, we can't have senators just bringing things to the floor because this is their preferred method. I mean, everybody in there has a preferred method. So that's why we have a committee process.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's important for people to hear that. I mean, that would, in a way, torpedo the very egalitarian process that defines representative government, right? I mean, that just wouldn't work.
Right.
I get it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the idea is...
So let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
No, please.
Well, the idea is that, you know, people read the legislation and then they can come in and give you information that maybe you don't have, maybe a perspective that you've not heard of. There's a reason that you take time to think things through.
Okay. So I viewed it as a really positive, great move. And I've jokingly said, boy, wouldn't it be great if politicians could just sort of, in this instance and in every instance, put a little bit of their ego aside, give a little bit, not make best the enemy of better, and you know, look in the mirror, say, hey, okay, you know, I may have a blemish here. I'm going to overlook that. I'm going to sort of get through it. I'm going to blink. I'm going to give a little bit and in good faith, and then dare challenge the other side to blink. And then at the end of the day, everyone could go home with a victory and go home to their district and their electorate and say, hey, I've done it. So I viewed what Caleb Rowden did on Thursday when he referred all the committee bill, all the bills to committees. That's what I understand. But yet the gubernatorial appointments remain unconfirmed. Wasn't that a good faith olive branch on the part of leadership? And wouldn't there be an expectation that now the other, quote, the other side should come forward and begin to lubricate the wheels of governance?
Yes. I mean, at the time that he referred the remaining bills, which would have been over 500 bills, he had already referred over 300 bills. So it's not that, you know, the process isn't moving, but one of the things that people may not understand is if there's a filibuster happening, the entire process comes to a halt. Committees cannot meet, nothing can move. And 10 of the last 11 days have ended in a filibuster. So it's a little bit disingenuous to say, I don't understand why things aren't happening. Why don't we hurry up and get this done? This is a priority. And at the same time, stop the process from happening. So I'm hoping that every bill has been referred. Monday, the initiative petition bills will be heard. I'm hoping that Monday when we meet, we will pass the gubernatorial appointments. I mean, you have to understand that there's probably, I don't know, 30, 40 people, all of who are volunteering their time to be appointed to a commission or a board or something like that. And they're all being, they drove to Jeff City, sat and waited, they were reviewed, and now they're all on hold. So hopefully we get through that. Yeah. Then they exec out the IP reform and it goes on the calendar this week. That's what I hope.
Yeah. So it's funny how when I talk with you and people hear this, I hear this, it's like, why? This all seems so simple. Nick Schroer says he wants to get it done. Bill Igel wants to get it done. Everyone wants to get the same thing done. We want education choice. We want IP reform so that we don't have abortion until the day of birth. You know, we want to protect women's sports, you know, all these things we talk about. And it just seems to me like, my gosh, there's a great opportunity. We talked with an education expert the other day, Cindy, that in 10 states in the last 2 years, 10 states now have universal choice. And we're still bickering about gubernatorial appointments. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense.
Well, I mean, it's an election year. And people who are running for election to another position, you know, oftentimes use what they're doing on the floor of the Senate or even the House as part of their campaign. And I think we need to kind of set that aside and take care of the position that we're in right now instead of, you know, bringing that influence in. But it happens.
Now, the last thing I want to address is sort of some personal comments that have been made about you and in general about leadership. More than one person, and Nick Schroer said it, so I wanted to present it to you because, you know, I try to be a truth seeker. You know me. This is not the Cindy I know. That you've changed, that you've become the darling of the lobbyists. Caleb has become the darling of the lobbyists. They've called you swamp creatures. Caleb calls them swamp creatures. I went back and looked at campaign contributions. I'm not a journalist. I don't have the time. I'm taking care of patients, doing talk radio. But it looks to me like you have self-funded larger parts of your campaign. I don't see any major large special interest groups to your campaigns. On Bill Igel, I see Lathrop & Gage, who's a consulting firm. I see trial attorney money. Everyone's got special interests. They listen to people who are sympathetic with their views. I don't view that as a bad thing. It's all transparent. Are you more special interest owned than anyone else?
You know, it's unfortunate that Nick would say that kind of thing. I mean, it's kind of hard to say I'm trying to find a way forward in a compromise and then turn around and, you know, rip into a person's character. But this is politics. So, you know, I'm not running for anything else. I'm one of the oldest people in the Senate. And I would just like to see us get done the priorities of conservative Republicans. And I believe that we will get that done. I try to set aside all the rhetoric. I'm not sure why. I think words are flying without thoughts being attached. And to be honest, I mean, there's been times that I have stood on the floor and been irate and probably did not engage my brain before speaking, which I'm trying to commit myself to this weekend, never letting that happen again. I mean, everybody needs to kind of ratchet down the emotion and do the work that they have been elected to do. And that's what I'm going to do.
Senator Cindy O'Loughlin, I will tell you and I tell my audience, I know you to be a person of great honor and integrity. I know your intentions and your bit of humility expressed there is the kind of person you are. I know this. I hope that everyone can begin to express the same kind of humility. People can come together. And I thank you genuinely, and I pray fervently that you and the others can come together and it can be a huge conservative win because you all are patriots. And I pray that we can come to some consensus. And thank you so much for appearing and being on the program. I really, really appreciate it very genuinely. All the best of luck this next week. Thank you.
Thank you, Randy. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Powerful interview. Powerful morning here on the program. It's your turn. 314-912-1019. If you're a politician, if you are someone who supports a politician, if you think that both sides are wrong, or either side is wrong, give me a call. 314-912-1019. Your turn on the Randy Tobler Show. We'll bring it back in a minute. Well, I hope that I can help connect some dots between the two interviews you heard with Nick Schroer, Cindy O'Loughlin, and my friends at Advanced Dentistry of St. Charles, and the experience I had yesterday. It wasn't with my friends at Advanced Dentistry of St. Charles, but it was by referral of Daniel Cusimano, who I called a week and a half ago, and I said, man, I got a crown that's killing me. He, through some telehealth and some questioning, talked to me and said, you know, I think you're going to probably need a root canal, and I think I got the guy to do that. He showed the understanding of what was needed. He didn't want to burden me with a visit to his office and another copay and, you know, wasting my time, because I drive a couple hours. I drive a couple hours to see Dan Cusimano, Megan Dwyer, and the great staff at Advanced Dentistry of St. Charles. I saw Dr. Ted Beecham at Beacon Endodontics. Got it done yesterday, my first root canal. That's not as painful as what's going on in the floor of the Missouri Senate, ladies and gentlemen. Let me tell you, it was beautiful. It was a great experience because Dan Cusimano knows how to get things done with your teeth, with your dental work. Megan Dwyer and Dan know how to take care of the grinding by doing some Botox. I am a grinder. I got to get some Botox. Advanced Dentistry of St. Charles at advanceddentistrynow.com. That's the mark of a great practice. They know their limits. They know the great referrals. They take care of you because you come first. That's Advanced Dentistry of St. Charles. Give them a call if you're having any dental problems or if you just need a cleaning. 978-0226, 636-978-0226. Simply the best. Advanced Dentistry of St. Charles. I get to know your name.
Randy Tobler, Truth Warrior, Woke Destroyer. On News Talk STL. Watch us on our live stream using Rumble, Facebook, and Twitter. Talk lines are open now at 314-912-1019. This is News Talk STL.
Welcome back to the program. It's 8:30. The numbers are 314-912-1019. I hope you'll give me a call because I'd really like to have you weigh in as we muse about what we heard from both Nick Schroer and Cindy O'Loughlin. And, you know, I'm just a little old observer here, but it appears to me as though there is a way forward. I really think that out of this turmoil could come some amazing, I mean, out of the park, grand slam, jaw-dropping, nation-leading conservative policymaking in this state. And I think what both Nick and Cindy said, I mean, Nick, you know, she went after Cindy a little bit, but just said, hey, this is not the Cindy I know. Cindy admitted that, but he also said, I've been working to try to get this. And by the way, I found it interesting that Nick Schroer, who you hear every Sunday night here from 8 to 10, I can't wait to listen to the show tomorrow night. He's been working behind the scenes. I know that. And he said it here. He's been working behind the scenes. Apparently, there's some pushback on the other side. I think what we established this morning, and whether you're on the Freedom Caucus, you're all in on Freedom Caucus, or you're all in on Cindy and Caleb, and there are people in both sides that are dug in, it may behoove us all to remind whoever we're talking to on whichever side that, hey, you know, you talk about no-fault divorce. I think this may be a little both-fault divorce at this point. Everyone's got a little culpability. Everyone's got a little culpability. And if you look in the mirror and you think you're Taylor Swift, you're Justin Timberlake, whoever your idol of the day is, you got another thing coming. And until you come to that realization that, you know, you could improve your standing, the way you conduct yourself. We heard Cindy O'Loughlin just say it. Yeah, I've lost it a little bit. I got a little ranty. Okay. I never get ranty. My wife never comes to me after a show and says, boy, you were ranty today. Never. Doesn't ever happen. I'm sure the only one that doesn't do that. No, never. At any rate, look, I think we have to keep reminding our legislators that it's better for them to put some differences aside. And even though they can agree to disagree, they don't need to be disagreeable. Those are vast differences. Let's talk to the caller. Who's on the line, Jerome?
So we have a caller that'd like to share some of her thoughts about these fantastic interviews that we've had going on today.
This is Mary.
Mary, hey, what are your thoughts about today's conversations?
Okay, first I heard, I did hear Nick having a real tough time Sunday night on fire. He was so upset with going on. But what I heard today... with her, I'm sorry. I mean, she might be a great person at her job in the past. The world has changed, and it looks like there's no urgency. It's protocol. You know, you got to do this, got to put it on schedule. That's not how this government's working right now. Biden, these people that Nick is talking about, that you guys are talking about, these are bringing people, I think it's stimulus people, but they're bringing them to the stores and putting signs out for people to sign. And they're not listening to people who are saying don't sign. They're signing. I heard it. I walked away from it. I wanted to say something. I wanted to get angry, but I couldn't. I had to walk away going, uh-uh, not me. And I walked away. But they're not explaining what it is. They're just saying, oh, if you live in the city, you live in the state. This is urgent. We have to pass that constitutional thing to change this. To me, it seems like this is what Pelosi did. She stalled it, protocol, everything, and then get it out. I don't know if they're lobbyists. I don't know any attention, but well, Mary, to me, it seems funny.
Mary, let's step back and think this through. What I heard Cindy say was, in fact, that she didn't want to be a Pelosi. What I heard was, there's a bunch of IP bills out there. There had already been 12 referred to committee before any of the committee chairmanships were taken away and the parking spots and all that taking. This was week before last. There were 12 in committee. So if you're the leader, put yourself in the position. You're a majority leader. You're the president's pro tem. You guys are going to determine what goes to the floor. And you have that ability to put one bill, one IP bill, before the Senate at large for the first time since the 1900s. That essentially then sets a precedent that you're one of those two people, the very people that some are accusing of being bad leaders, would then be accused of being Nancy Pelosi by saying, I'm going to pick the winner and the loser. I believe this is the best IP petition bill. What message does that send to the 12 other senators who had their own IP petition reform? And then
it's
the floodgates. That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying, put yourself in the position of that person. That opens up a whole nother line of criticism then. And the next issue, let's say Mary's really hot on education reform. And she's going to go to Cindy and say, look, you took Bill Eigel's. I don't know if it was Bill. You took Bill Eigel's bill and you bypassed the committee process. The heck with this. I want my education choice bill to go forward.
I see that. What I'm saying is I don't see her as a leader. I know she probably was in the past, but a leader and a person that would delegate, a true leader in a business, I think would go to their whole staff and say, let's prioritize. You tell me what we should do. Get it, you know, just get it out on the open. It seems like to me she wasn't conveying that there's a lot of communication. Yeah, she sent them out Thursday, but did people know about it? Yeah, she did. But if you don't inform people as you go, as a true leader should say, you know, when you're in a leader position, you have to say, okay, I understand what you're saying. You need to tell them that I have to pick the bills. To me, it seems like because we see people at the shopping malls, this might be the most important thing to bid on. But go
it's
ahead and
deal.
Say
no,
the next step.
Deal.
Get people involved in it. It looks like it's just two separate things, the freedom and the other one. And, you know, I know Nick is passionate, and I know that, and I can hear that. But she's like the old protocol. Let's put it on the schedule. And to me, that's just my opinion. But to me, it looks like there's no urgency. It's not like, let's come together this week. Let's start something. Let's figure this out. Right. Let's hammer it out. Sit all together. I don't know how it used to be that way before Pelosi. It used to be all the Senate got together, all the Republican representatives got together, and they discuss things. Then they fight things out.
Okay.
And they figure out what's more important. Yeah. You know, I would like to have a little gambling this year. Just a little bit so we can watch the races and be able to gamble on it without going to Illinois to do it. I want to be sitting there on my TV with the gambling thing. Now, that's a little thing, but that's never been discussed.
All right. Well, but Mary, here, let me just, my tongue in cheek here. What if you had a gambling bill, but someone else decided to filibuster and close down the Senate because they wanted their gambling bill to be put in front of the Senate?
Yeah, and then mine's not important. Mine's not urgent. So then you go by priority. What's more in priority, right? Well, right now we know that a lot of it's being, you know, a lot of it right now because of Biden, they go fast. They don't do sit around stuff. They just do.
I'm hearing you.
Let's summarize it by telling, I know you got to get going. Let me summarize it by saying, I don't see her sense of urgency. And I haven't spoke the Biden guy, but it looks like they need to learn the urgence. Get together, communicate every step of the way.
Right.
This is why we're going to discuss this bill. Let you know, or let's pick a bill to discuss. But let me tell you, I'm approached by lobbyists today. You know, they've got this many signatures. So,
okay,
you know,
it's
a priority. In a company, you go with priority.
Thank you, Mary. Appreciate the call. I get it. And I really... I'll channel some leadership talk here because I've talked with them on the air, as I've talked with Senator Igel on the air here and in mid-Missouri. Bill, I honor Bill's service. I honor his zeal. I honor his passion. I honor Nick's passion. I think that Cindy is as passionate as anyone that you could want to know. But remember, she's got... more than 6 or 7 senators to try to get together and get to agree on something. I understand the urgency, but I don't think, Mary, you're hearing me. If one bill is selected to sort of break that committee traditional way, and it's incumbent on Cindy O'Loughlin and Caleb Rowden to now crack the whip on those committees and get those bills out, because I, for one, will go on the record here. I've gone on the record before. Can't we all agree that none of us want to see the mayhem that happens the last week? No one writes their term paper except for Jerome the night before it's due. Most of us are working on it all semester. Right, Jerome? You
caught me.
Right before it's due?
You caught me. Right. I've been using ChatGPT for it, too.
Yeah, well, no, but really, seriously, we've got to get these things done. We got to get them out earlier. And I think you might see some movement. I predict that you might see some movement. Now the ball is in the Freedom Caucus's court. All of the bills are in the committee. And it's time them for now. I challenge them to approve that gubernatorial slate. Let's do a little giving on each side and let's do some getting of conservative policies. Back with more calls, 314-912-1019 as we wrap it up after this.
Good morning, everybody. Tony Colombo and Katie Fitzpatrick here.
Thanks for listening to The Randy Tobler Show here on Newstalk STL. And don't forget to join us every weekday at 2 p.m. for Colombo and Katie.
Also, keep it here for my Saturday morning show, the Bluff City Outdoor Show, today at 11. Now back to Dr. Randy Tobler. Love you, Doc.
I love Katie and Colombo, too. I'm telling you, Tony and Katie do a fabulous show. I love hanging out with them a little bit on Thursday afternoons here on Newstalk STL. And by the way, Jerome, have you had any incoming messages yet from the Trump campaign about our nomination of Katie Fitzpatrick for vice president? She's perfect. I'm telling you, that's her lane.
Yeah, no responses yet, but I'm sure when they do respond, it'll be huge.
Yeah, I know. It'll be huge. They're listening, I'm sure. I'm telling you, that's who we need. If he wants to cruise to victory with like a 10% margin, that is the solution. Katie Fitzpatrick for vice president. Who's on the line? We have a caller.
Hi, my name's Leanne, and I was just listening to Mary call in before. And I guess my question to you, and I understand your response to her around, you know, if we go around the rules and go back and kind of out of tradition, and everybody wants to bring their specific bill, and there's multiple bills around the same topic. But I guess my frustration really is that we had to get to this point, right? We have, a supermajority, and that's air quotes, in Jeff City. And we look at the last session and very little got done. And the few things that did get done, there was a sunset on the bill that for the transgender surgeries for minors, et cetera. So even the things that did get done didn't get done as I think true conservatives would like them to have gotten done. And IP's been on the Republican priority list by both the caucus and if you look at the Missouri Republican Party priorities, I mean, it's there. So why did it take this and the Freedom Caucus to kind of challenge it to get things moving? And I would say that the Freedom Caucus now, if everything went to committee this week after all this kerfuffle, why the heck didn't it happen before that? Why did it take this kind of kerfuffle and fit throwing to get our representatives or not our the people that we've elected to do their job? I guess that's my frustration, is what it seems
Leanne, in order to, and again, I'm not taking either side here, but I think both sides have a point. Here's the problem with, I think, I, there's a question that keeps plaguing me, and I didn't get a chance to ask either Nick or Cindy, but if the Freedom Caucus's stance is absolute, perfect, undefiled, and the only way to go, how come a majority of the GOP senators aren't flocking to join the Freedom Caucus?
Exactly. And if you look at what...
That's my point. There's something going on within the Freedom Caucus that they can't convince another... And I'm not talking about Caleb Rowden and Cindy O'Loughlin. Why can't they convince the other... How many others does that make it? 10 other senators? More than that. Why can't why aren't they endorsing the Freedom Caucus and doing that?
Well, and that's a concern I have, because if you look at what the Freedom Caucus says they stand for and everything that they're trying to do, if you're not for those things, I mean, they match up with the Republican priorities. So I guess I would challenge anybody who says, it's just like, and that, I think that's what's so frustrating is if we have two Republicans fighting for us, then why aren't they doing what we want them to do?
But Leanne, have you ever been on a committee where maybe my wife occasionally would lead some fifth grade party thing? I remember she did the fifth grade graduation at Sparing Middle School it wasn't Sparing. That was a middle school. One of the elementary school where the kids went. And she was never so frustrated. She was the leader of a party. And very often it would be like she'd do hours of work. I remember she worked entire drive down to Destin one year and the entire drive back, coming up with games and awards and making phone calls and Oriental Trading Company. Oh, my God, I've got boxes of Oriental Trading Company stuff in the attic. And then she would bring those ideas with which she'd talk to other women, and they were working at it because some of the women were working. My wife had decided to stay home with the kids. And then she'd bring those to the meeting, and all of a sudden those ideas would be exploded. It's like, well, how could you dare do that? We wanted cherry Kool-Aid. We didn't want grape Kool-Aid. Okay. And so the fact is that there are differences. Differences exist, and leaders can only throw out ideas unless you want a tyrannical leadership that says this is the only way. But there's other elected officials from other districts that may not be as red as lock solid 100% Freedom Caucus, whatever. You see what I mean?
Yeah, so I see what you mean, and I have been on committees and I've led committees, and I think that's part of the problem as well, is that a leader is a person who can take those things and say, look, this is the end goal. We all want the same thing, right? But the how is what we're and the details is what we're nitpicking, and get people to, but that's what a true leader needs to do, is to,
Leanne, let me look at this. Here's another problem. When we talk about the FRA and the Medicaid money that's matched from the federal government, blah, blah, blah. As I understand it, the Freedom Caucus is against the proposed FRA approval. It comes up every Tuesday because there's a possibility, although it's unintended, there's a possibility that some of the Medicaid money, because of the federal rules, could go to Planned Parenthood. Now, is anyone willing to even have the discussion that are we going to sacrifice the health of elderly and non-elderly people across rural America, rural Missouri, urban Missouri, because of an absolutist line in the sand? I'm not negotiating on that issue, that, as you would say, little issue around a huge multi-billion dollar program in Missouri. You see what I mean?
Yeah,
when people draw a line in the sand and they say, I'm not negotiating, I'm not willing to give one inch, well, then there is no negotiating.
Yeah, but that's where a leader has to come in and say, look, these are our options, and we need to move forward at some point. And yes, I know. I mean,
you don't think
I've negotiated contracts with unions. I mean, so I know that you have to give and take, right? And that's what we hire them to do. So I think there's, but the thing that really frustrates me is that this week, now Caleb said, I've sent everything to committee. Why? I guess it's my frustration is, why the hell didn't he just do that before? What? Why did
Leanne,
it take
Leanne,
this
wait a minute, hang on, for him Leanne, to do that? Hang on. Cindy O'Loughlin told me last week that before any of this blow up, there were 12 committee bills on IP reform. They were already referred. They were in committee, but because of the filibuster, all of the committee work stops. None of that work. I mean, don't you think one of the 12 would have been a reasonable bill to negotiate and vote
yeah,
out?
I don't know. I haven't read them, so I don't know. And I don't know why they did the filibuster. But
my point. They made that point. They did that. And there were another dozen or so on education reform. So they had shown some leadership. They had selected what they thought was the best of those multiple options. And they said a dozen of them. But it was shut down. At least that's what I'm not here to defend Caleb and Cindy
I heard it on this radio station from Tim Jones. Tim Jones is the one that said it's week four and no IP bill has been sent to committee. So that's what I was referring to.
What Cindy O'Loughlin told me was 12 bills were in committee. Yeah. Okay, that's what I heard. Maybe, okay. Hey, thank you, Leanne. I really appreciate your call. Thank you. You raised some brilliant points, and they need to be raised. Thank you very much. Okay.
Well, the one thing I just want to say is we're all ours. We need to get moving forward. Just think about the people in this state, please, whoever's in
there. And I hope the Freedom Caucus hears that. I hope the Freedom Caucus heard Cindy O'Loughlin say that she maybe got a little out of control on the floor. She said that. I haven't heard anyone on the Freedom Caucus say that. So I'm challenging people on the Freedom Caucus to say, look, we've done some name calling too. Is it right for Freedom Caucus to people to call rhinos on the other side? And is it right for Caleb Rowden to call swamp creatures? I don't think either of them are right to be name calling. That's my story and I'm sticking to it. Thank you. All right. I got to take a nap, Jerome. I'm spent, man. I'm done.
Yeah, they got intense there. And to the two other callers that are waiting right now, unfortunately, we look like we're out of time, but we'd love to hear from you next week. So reminder to everybody listening, we don't usually have a lot of guests at the 6 a.m. hour. So anybody that can get up nice and early, we'd love to hear from you. And we do love hearing what you guys are saying out there. So,
And stay in touch with me on @RandyTolberMD on Twitter, X, whatever it is. Okay. @RandyTolberMD. Thank you for being with us. Appreciate it. It's been great being with you all morning. If you want to refer people to the interviews this morning and the discussion, the podcast will be up later today. Make sure that they stay in touch with that on newstalkstl.com. Thanks all. Let's pray. Let's literally get on our knees and pray that these good people, these patriots, can get together and get some stuff done. Have a great week.